So this sermon today is called Living the Mercy-Filled Life. Living the Mercy-Filled Life and what that is all about.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
This morning, we're going to dig into God's Word one more time, and I'm just going to ask that you would pray together with me as we get into the Word, that He would open our eyes of understanding. Father, thank You this morning for Your love. Thank You, Lord, for Your patience with us. And thank You, Lord, for just always being so faithful to us. Today, Lord, we recognize that You are Lord, and we ask that You would cause Your Word now to minister to our hearts. Dig deep in our hearts where it needs to be dug, and Lord, help us to initiate change where You want us to change. And I'll give You praise for that and give You thanks. In Jesus' name, God's people say amen and amen. Well, this morning, I'm so thankful as the Lord gave me a word last week about something called grace. Dee sang about it here just briefly. And I want to go a little bit further on. How many of you want to go a little deeper in God's Word? So, as we enter in, I want us to go right back to the same text that I started out with last week, and I'm not going to give you the joke on that this week. We're in the book of Hebrews. How many of you did remember that, though, when I shared that with you? Yeah. Some of you that are new are like, what's that all about now? Okay. It has to do with it's scriptural that man should make the coffee in the morning, right? There's a whole book on it, Hebrews, right? All right. Not, okay. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. So again, the same scripture that I opened up with last week, and we spoke about grace. Now I want you to turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I want to major in again on verse 3. Blessed is the Lord God, which according to His abundant mercy has given us a living hope. Today, I want to go to the second part of that. We spoke about His grace. I want to talk about mercy today. And I want us to understand the differences between grace and mercy. How many of you got a good understanding of grace last week as we spoke about that? And what grace is and what we are to do with grace. Today I want to talk about mercy. So this sermon today is called Living the Mercy-Filled Life. Living the Mercy-Filled Life and what that is all about. So I want to dig a little deeper into this word mercy. Now, a lot of us have heard just catchphrases where we say, Lord, have mercy. And some of us said, and I've heard that, Lord, have mercy on me. But what is mercy? Let's talk about mercy for a little bit. Now, its usage in Scripture is found, check this out, over 260 times in the Word of God. So how many of you think mercy is important? That God chose to either use mercy or merciful or some form of that word in His Word over 260 times. So, I think we should pay attention to it, and I think we should spend a whole sermon on that. So the Greek word is eleos. That's E-L-E-H-O-S. Eleos. And it simply means this. Compassion. Tender. When you look at the word itself, there's very few words that describe it, but compassion and tenderness. And then it goes on by extension to say to compassionate by word or deed. That's not a word that we hear too often, to compassionate. In other words, we are to do this thing, to compassionate by our words or with our deeds, to showing compassion on others. Now, I've got several things that I want to talk about, and I'm going to throw up on the screen. So if you're writing notes on this, we'll have Rick put this up. Number one, mercy is not just a feeling. And again, we talked about this last week, about grace not just being a feeling. Because how many of you know feelings come and go? Sometimes you might feel like it, and sometimes you might not feel like it. So God's Word is not about feelings at all. God's Word is about fact and what He says. So mercy is not just a feeling, but a demonstration of God's love and grace in action. Now it includes kindness, patience, and forgiveness. Now grace, it is not giving what is actually deserved, but the opposite. That's my favorite definition of that. If I am going to give you mercy, I am not going to give you what you actually deserve. Now, according to the Scriptures, we know that all of us deserve what? Death! Why? Because of the things that we have done. Has anybody in here ever done something bad? Huh? Both hands? How many of us have done something bad more than once a day? So according to God's Word, what we actually deserve is death. But mercy now steps in here. God is not going to give us what we actually deserve. But the opposite. He's going to give us grace. He's going to give us that which we don't deserve. So when we think about mercy, understand that this is not giving somebody what they deserve. Now, in our culture, we're kind of built on this in the flesh, right? If you do this to me, I'm going to do it back to you. Because you did it to me. Or if you harmed me, I'm going to harm you back. If you steal from me, the flesh man says, I'm going to steal back from you. Or if you are saying some very nasty things to me, what's the flesh man want to do? Say nasty things right back to you. Now, I'd like to say that we all are not guilty of that, right, Kath?
Yeah, not at all.
But unfortunately, we are. and thus steps in the word mercy. So, all of us are examples of this thing. So if you go with me over to Ephesians chapter 2, this is actually one of my favorite portions in the book of Ephesians. Right, Pastor Aaron?
I have no doubt.
Ephesians chapter 2, it goes something like this. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's who? That's us, right? We were dead in those trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's the devil himself. He is now referred to here as the prince of the power of the air. He's been given authority here as he was cast out of heaven, been given authority as the prince of the power of the air that works disobedience in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling those desires of the flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, right? But God, here we go, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our own sins, he's quickened us together by Christ, for by grace are you saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. But look at this, verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. There is no one that is richer in mercy than God himself. Because how is it possible that he could look at us and all of the things that we have done and still say, I am not going to give you the penalty for what you've done? How is that possible? He is the only one that is as rich in mercy as you can get. And look, just about the time that you and I think that we're doing great, how many of you are feeling really spiritually high? And all of a sudden something happens and something comes out of your mouth or you do something and it's kind of like, ugh, I messed up. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, you messed up. That's where the grace and mercy of God comes in at. This mercy. Because what would it be like if God said, Patty? I like to pick on Patty. She picks back, yeah. All right, I'm moving on behind you. You messed up. I'm done with you. I don't care what you all did before. You messed up. You're done. What would that feel like? Feel like pretty bad, right? But mercy steps in that and says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. And we all know what we deserve, right? But God's mercy, he is rich in mercy. He is rich in that mercy. Now I think about a guy named David, King David. This is the classic example of mercy. And I think David knew it as well. Because this guy David, you know, the Bible says he was the apple of God's eye. But this King David did just about everything that you could do that was against God and against the heart of God. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He planned that out. He was a liar. And all these things, and yet, here's what he writes. Would you jump over with me to the book of Psalms? Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and I want you to listen to the words here. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, only you have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, and you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hear me. Make me to hear your gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I want you to think about this for a minute here. King David recognized mercy, did he not? In all that he had done, he calls upon the Lord for his loving kindness and for his mercy. And he asked God, create in me a clean heart. How many of us today will look at our lives and pray that same prayer? God, create in me a clean heart because I know who I am. And I know what my heart is capable of. And I know what I have done. But I now rely on the mercy of God. The mercy that he provides. And I put down something here that I think is really important when it comes to mercy. As in David's case and in our case, mercy comes when we owe up to our sins. You know what I mean by owing up to our sins? How many of us are masters at trying to hide the sin? And we try to justify the things that we have done. We try to justify the things that we say to others. Well, I didn't mean anything by it. That's just who I am. I love you. When you've said something that sarcastically cut someone down, I didn't really mean it. It's just me. God is looking for those that will owe up to their sins. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. When we mess up, fess up. Fess up. Because we all do it. And a lot of times we don't want to because we don't want somebody to think, oh, well, they're going to think I'm bad. Or they're going to think I'm not spiritual. But we all do it. We all do it. And we should fess up. David fessed up. Because you can see it here in Psalm 51. He knows it. He says, Lord, wash me. I'm going to count on your tender mercies. Because I have messed up. Proverbs chapter 28, if you jump forward a little bit. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and on Wednesday nights, we haven't gotten here yet. There's so much to go before we get there, right, Miss Joyce? I think we're only in chapter 13 now on Wednesday nights, so if you've missed some of it, come along with us. Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have what? Now, some of the Proverbs are hard to understand, but I'm going to tell you, this one is not hard to understand, is it? Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Again, I want to say, whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. But let me ask you what the alternative is to that. If you decide not to confess them and not to owe up to them, do you get mercy? The Word of God is speaking very, very clear here. Owe up when you mess up, because mercy comes then. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We read something very similar here. Verses 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So how many of you want mercy? I asked you last week about grace. How many of you want mercy? Then it's all about fessing up when we mess up. Right? It's all about that. And not trying to justify what we've done. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand of how many of you have tried to justify what you've done wrong. You know, when I was a young man, I was a master at that. I don't know. I learned that's real young somewhere along the line. And if I did something, I would cover it up so that it didn't look like it was me that did it. Anybody in here like that? Don't raise your hands, okay? We try to cover it up. We try to cover up because we don't want to look bad. And that's one of the things that God has worked on me over the years on, and that is, you know, being honest when you mess up. I think that's important with our kids and with our grandkids. When we mess up, I'm sorry, I messed up. That's where mercy comes in at. Now, I wrote down something here. God's mercies are always available when we call. But how many of us don't call? And there's some of us that, you know, we live with that sin and we live with that conviction when we know we've messed up and we refuse to fess up and we live with that, we live with that. What happens inside, folks? You start to get really torn up inside. But we have to call on the Lord. I want you to go to that little book of Lamentations. The little book of Lamentations, it's stuck right in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. The book of Lamentations, and I think this is one of the most wonderful scriptures that is tucked down deep inside, somewhere right around the middle of the scriptures. Lamentation chapter 3. And once you find that there, I want you to go to verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. But I want you to look at this, folks. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Because how often does the Lord give out his mercies? They are new every morning. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we can call upon him today? We can call upon him tomorrow? Because today and tomorrow, perhaps we will mess up. Now, I am not telling you, go ahead and mess up because God's grace and mercy will be there. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you that when you do, they're new every morning. You know, God doesn't say, when you call on him after you've messed up for the last 3 days in a row, God does not say, Pat, I'm sorry. I already dished out one to you this week. Caleb, you already had your allotment today. And Jerry, you had way too many of them. So forget about it. There's not going to be one for another year. Can you imagine God saying that? Where would we be if we had to wait for a year before we got the next one? Well, we'd be so far behind, we'd never catch up. His mercies are new. That means they're fresh every morning when we need those mercies. We can call upon him, and they will always be available to us. So we've learned of the mercies of God. And there's a song that's rolling around in my head. You're like, oh no. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Anybody heard that one before? With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness, your faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I'm dating myself. I'm going way, way back into the archives. Okay? How many of us will sing of the mercies of the Lord? Because they're new every morning, and we should be thanking him every morning for those mercies. Because we need them every morning. So what does it have to do with us? Let's turn the sermon around to us. Let's bring it back. What's our call? Since we know that God has had so much mercy on us. Here we go. Many of us have heard this scripture before. Micah chapter 6. Some of you know where I'm going with this. The book of Micah chapter 6. What's God's call for us today? Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings and calves for a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000s of rivers of oils? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, there's lots of things in there, but we're going to key in on this second one. That we are to do what? Love mercy. Can we all say that together? We are to love mercy. How many of you agree with the Word of God? And some of you say, I'm not incriminating myself, okay? We are to love this thing called mercy. Because God had so much of it on us, we are to love this thing called mercy. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus was teaching on a whole bunch of things here. And this is what he said. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Now, what's our call, folks? What did God ask us to do? He asked us in these two verses to love mercy and be the ones that are merciful. Now, we already visited what it means. Not getting what we deserve. And we're all great with that. Thank God I don't get what I deserve. Right, Parker? Right, Lisa? Thank God for that. But now he's asking us to do the same thing. To love mercy. And to love being merciful with other people. Oh, Pastor, not now. Not now. We don't like being merciful with other people. We want them to be merciful with us, and we want God to be merciful with us. But God is asking us to be the ones that show mercy as believers in Christ. That means when you mess up. When you mess up. And it affected me. What you're actually guilty of, I'm not going to give you back. But I'm going to give you something different. I'm going to give you love. I'm going to give you grace. Because that's what mercy says. Because every one of us are offended, most likely on a regular basis, are we not? Someone offends us. Someone has done something to us. You're driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of you. That ever happened to anybody? Man, we're just not happy with that. Can't you read the signs? That was a stop sign there. So many people yell at people and they never hear them. Where'd you get your license at? Out of a Cracker Jack box. Come on now. If you've ever pulled out in front of somebody, anybody ever done that one? Okay? Yeah. Anybody ever run a stop sign? I'm not saying run it over. I'm saying go through it without stopping, okay? Or a stoplight. I did it the other day, and Laura said, there's a stop sign there. Did you not see it? And years ago, you know, we try to justify these things. Well, you know, they put it too far back off the road, and I couldn't see it. So she said, do you see that stop sign? I said, nope, never saw it. Because if I had seen it, I would have stopped. But I never saw it. I guess that might be it. We want people to show us mercy when we do things like that, but we oftentimes don't want to show mercy to others. Because we want them to pay for what they've done. Hello? What about what you've done? When you run out in front of somebody and you didn't see them there, you know, what do you want to do? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. And then whenever they say, it's okay, you're like, oh, yeah. I get the goosebumps, right? But when they're back there talking to you in their car and their hands are flying everywhere, you don't like that. Let's not let that be us that's doing that. Because in order to love mercy, we have to practice it. Not giving people what they deserve. And some people, we just really have an issue with this because, you know, no, it's the purpose of the thing. You know, it's the principle of the thing. They need to know it so they don't do it again. Anybody ever been there before? The chances are, even if they did know it, they'll probably still do it again. And I'm preaching to myself because I used to be that way. And I'll tell you, you know, years ago, I almost ordered one of those lights that you put up on top of your car that's a flashing light. Because that was my thinking. You know, these people really need to know. Somebody's got to educate them that they're wrong doing this. First of all, that's illegal, right? You can't impersonate a police officer. Anyway, the Lord dealt with me, so I didn't do it, okay? Praise God. But we think we have to straighten people out. But that's not loving mercy. So God's had to work on me. And I'm not preaching this message because I don't know anything about it. When God got a hold of my heart and He said, you are to love mercy, boy. Love mercy. Love giving it out. Just love everything about it. And at first it goes against your core because you want people to understand they were wrong. But that's not my job, John. Is it? It's not my job. That's God's job. So ask God to help you to begin to love mercy. And to be that merciful person, because then blessings will follow. Blessings will follow. I remember, this was years ago, this was in Oregon. And, you know, money was so tight and I was working in a prison and jail ministries and the car that I had was just awful. I mean, it just was awful. Had all kinds of issues and, you know, almost every day you're lifting the hood and you're trying to jiggle with this spark plug wire or that. And I'm like, God, I said, why can't I have a good vehicle? Can I have a good vehicle here? And I know the Lord began to deal with me about this one thing, and that was mercy. I had a problem, like I say, trying to put that light up on the top and trying to run up beside people and tell me. And the Lord said, until you learn to love mercy, you ain't going to get nothing, boy. And that's pretty much the way the Lord spoke to me. You're going to get nothing because you don't love mercy, you don't give mercy, and why should mercy be given to you? So I began to change my tune on that and began to learn to love this thing called mercy. So when people offend me, when people do things against me, I'm learning to love mercy. And it's not the principal thing anymore. That now has gone away from me. And so I realized that if I love mercy, and I didn't do it just so God would give me a better car. The Lord truly dealt with me, and I began to love the mercy and began to be merciful to people whenever they would do things. And lo and behold, God provided a better vehicle for me. And I remember that so vividly, and God provided that for me. And I understood, blessed are the merciful. Now, please don't go away from here saying, well, if I just learn to love mercy, God's going to give me a Cadillac. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But you will be blessed You will be blessed by God. Okay? Hang with me just a couple minutes longer because I have a question. How do we treat the ungodly? Now, it's easy for some Christians to treat other Christians with mercy. But sometimes we're not treating the ungodly with mercy either. And we are the godly, supposed to be the light of the world. How do we treat the ungodly? Now, I'm not a man, not a preacher that preaches about politics, but I've heard some Christians going hog wild on speaking very poorly about politicians and different things of this nature. Or those that are making rules that are ungodly. Yes, we are to stand for righteousness. That's God's heart. But how do we look at the ungodly when they're making those decisions? Some of us call them idiots. Some of us call them all kinds of other names. I don't believe that that is what the Scripture meant by showing mercy. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, starting out in verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, here comes the religious people, they said to his disciples, why does your master eat with these publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, that they might be whole, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick need the physician. Go you now and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when I look at that, these are ungodly folks that Jesus decided to have dinner with. And those righteous people come along and say, oh, he shouldn't be eating with them. He shouldn't be eating with them. Look at all the things that they do. They're all wrong. They do that. Just like a lot of Christians badmouth ungodly people. Jesus talked about this thing called mercy, did he not? He surely did. He said, I want you Pharisees to go and learn what this thing on mercy is all about. For the Christian man and woman to not show mercy on the ungodly, that's the worst testimony we could ever have. Because why would they want to be like us if we're not showing mercy? And that goes with everywhere you are, on the job, on the road, show mercy. Show mercy. Ephesians chapter 4. And again, going back to that great letter from the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth do not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Christians, we need to understand that if somebody is not saved, how would they know how to act saved in the ways that a saved person would? They won't. So understand where mercy comes in here. Understand that they truly can't see it. They truly can't see it because they're blind of the things of God because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know, when that began to sink in my heart, it really began to help me to be more merciful to the ungodly. Because they truly can't see it. And Jesus called us the light of the world. our eyes have been enlightened to the gospel of Jesus, to what Jesus is all about and what his heart is all about. If we're at all going to reach the ungodly, we've got to be merciful to them. So my final word is, forgive and have mercy as you have been shown mercy. This whole sermon was about that, was it not? Turn over a couple pages to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And it says this, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so you also should forgive. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. And God never said that serving him would be easy, because it goes against everything that we are in this flesh man, does it not? But it's what God requires, to put on bowels of mercy. And I'll leave you with one more scripture. Why should we do this? Because our individual judgment depends on it. Don't believe me? Turn over to the book of James. And I want to leave us with this scripture, James chapter 2, verse 13. I want you all to see this. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, you're not going to get mercy if you have not shown mercy. When it comes to the judgment, you sitting before Jesus himself, he's asking, where was your mercy? But if we put on the bowels of mercy and we begun to show mercy, we don't have to worry about that judgment. So how about it, folks? Church, will we begin to show mercy? If we haven't, how about we start today? Let God work in you. Let God work that mercy in you. Mercy, again, not giving what is actually deserved. People do things all the time. And what they really deserve is the punishment for it, but mercy says no. And I think the thing that helped me the most along this mercy journey was thinking about what God's done for me. And when I've messed up, and you've messed up royally, and you know you have, and you ask God for forgiveness, he gave it to you. He gave you the mercy. So I'm like, if God would do that for me, why should I not do it for others? Amen? Living the mercy-filled life. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you would convict us as the people of God, that we live according to your word. And help us, Father, because our flesh man sometimes is weak. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to turn to your word and say, God loves the merciful. And he blesses the merciful. Help that to stick in our mind as we go on from this place. And remember what you have taught us today. And I'll thank you for that. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.